Robert M. Edsel has introduced us to the inspiring work of the monument's men and women. They helped protect and recover the art masterpieces and treasures of Europe, which Nazi invaders targeted to steal and destroy. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, he's telling us the stories of American soldiers and their allies in World War II who helped liberate a small town in the far south of the Netherlands. And he's reminding us of the promise Dutch people kept to honor their sacrifice. Robert's put their stories together in his latest book called Remember Us. Robert, can you tell us how you were drawn into this by a letter written in 1945 by a Dutch woman trying to find a soldier's mother?
That part of the story is the very ending of the Monuments Men book that I wrote that George Clooney made into his film. I was trying to just wrap up the book and share with readers what happened to each person. Of course, Captain Walter Hutchausen was killed at the end of the war. And I made the note that there was a young girl, 19 years old, who lived in a town right outside Maastricht, very near the cemetery, that her family knew Captain Hutchausen. And she wrote Harvard University asking for the name and contact information of his mother so that she could share the news that she walked 5 miles each day to the cemetery to place flowers on his grave. And in fact, Harvard responded and provided that information. And that was the end of the story. In 2015, when we were helping organize the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony, I had an RSVP from the nephew of Walter Hutchausen who said, of course I'll be there. And by the way, here's a photograph of Frida. And I thought, Frida, I don't know any Fridas. And then a few days later, I realized, you know, the only Frida I know was that 19-year-old girl that wrote Harvard in September 1945. And then I realized, oh my God, this woman's alive. So The following year, she and I became pen pals, and I said, I'm going to come visit you. And my wife said, do you have ambitions here? And I said, ambitions like what? And she said, write another book. And I said, no, this woman's probably the last woman to see Walter Hutchausen before he was killed. I feel duty-bound to talk to her. So I went to go meet with her, and she opened up these photo albums and said, do you want to see when the first tank passed by our home in September 13th, 1944? And I said, yes. And she said, are you aware of the American Military Cemetery? And I said, yes, I know about it. And she said, you know about the Grave Adoption Program? And I said, the what? And she said, the Grave Adoption Program. And I said, I feel embarrassed. I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's how it started.
Huh. You know, if we can humanize these dramatic stories, it's so easy to talk about wars in sweeping, grand military terms or whatever. But the whole dimension of appreciating the horrors of war is to humanize it. You know, Robert, another way to do that is to appreciate poetry. And a lot of powerful poetry came out of the war. I know in your book that you appreciate a poem by Archibald MacLeish. Can you read, or do you remember the Young Dead Soldiers Do Not Speak?
I do. MacLeish was one of our, well, he was a poet laureate and a head of the Library of Congress at one point. He was a real polymath, but he suffered losses during World War I, and he wrote this great speech about what soldiers go through and the true cost of freedom. And the poem says, the young dead soldiers do not speak. Nevertheless, they are heard in the still houses. Who has not heard them? They have a silence that speaks for them at night and when the clock counts. They say, we were young, we have died, remember us. They say, we have done what we could, but until it is finished, it is not done. They say, we have given our lives, but until it is finished, no one can know what our lives gave. They say, our deaths are not ours, they are yours. They will mean what you make them. They say whether our lives and our deaths were for peace and a new hope or for nothing, we cannot say. It is you who must say this. They say, we leave you our deaths. Give them their meaning. Give them an end to the war and a true peace. Give them a victory that ends the war and a peace afterwards. Give them their meaning. We were young, they say. We have died. Remember us.
Oh, that is so touching, Robert. Thank you so much. And remember us. That is essentially what a war cemetery is all about. That poem could be the banner over the entry to every war cemetery, I would think.
It is, and it's the banner over the book. I mean, once I was aware of the poem and I understood the story you know, figuring out the title of the book was simple. Archibald MacLeish wrote it for us.
Mm. Remember us, there you go. The people who helped liberate the Dutch from more than 4 years of Nazi occupation are no longer around to thank. But today on Travel with Rick Steves, Robert Edsel is introducing us to American servicemen and Dutch citizens who lived and died fighting for freedom in Europe in the Second World War. They're the people we meet in his latest book, Remember Us. To tell their stories, Robert's researched never-before-seen letters, diaries, and historical records. He centers his focus on Margraten, a small town in South Limburg, where many of the people he writes about are buried at the Netherlands American Cemetery and Memorial. We have links to Robert's work in this week's show notes at ricksteves.com/radio. Now, America's military cemeteries, I've been to several all over Europe. They're powerful. They're beautifully kept. How are these maintained? What's the American Battle Monuments Commission? What is its duty? How is it funded? Tell us about that.
Well, the American Battle Monuments Commission, or ABMC, is a government appropriations. They have a group of board of governors or commissioners that are appointed by the president. They serve at the will of the president. And they're responsible for maintaining and taking care of all of our overseas military cemeteries, whether they're Spanish-American War, whether they are World War I, World War II, and so on. And the bulk of them are World War I, World War II. They do an extraordinary job, as you pointed out, whether it's Normandy, whether it's the Florence American Cemetery, the cemetery in Rome. They're all extraordinarily beautiful and fantastic settings. This is a commission that's been around. This is their 100th and first year. They started in 1923, 102nd year. So it's got great tradition and tremendously dedicated personnel. There's also another organization, the Defense Department's POW/MIA Accounting Agency, which does the most heartwarming work that should bring tears to every American, because they continue to this day trying to find the remains of any soldier that's been lost. They use state-of-the-art DNA analysis. They are even going into graves of unknown soldiers, hoping that some shred of material there may help identify who it is, and they've had great success in that regard. So it's a tremendous amount of work.
Do you have any concern about the status of these, the funding of these organizations to keep these memories alive today?
I don't know how we could not. I'm very concerned. The ABMC, I think, will continue on, and I'm confident that the DPAA, as it's referred to, the people that do this work with identifications. But of course, when there is such severe cutting of agencies, we would be unwise to ignore the realities. And I think it's just difficult for people in Washington, in particular those that haven't visited these places or haven't spoken to the family members of veterans or our veterans, how meaningful and important these places are, and really how critical they are to our international relationships. The countries that house these cemeteries, they're really, really critical. And it's not an expense, Rick, and you know that. It's an investment, and that's what we need to bring to people's attention.
Hey, Robert, I'm curious about the issue when a family loses a loved one overseas. In the case of World War II, many families decided to have the loved ones buried there in Europe where they fell. Others wanted them brought home. What are the issues that a family deals with there, and why do so many families decide to have their loved ones stay where they fell?
That is a great question. Of course, at the end of the war, about 2 years after the war, the United States sent notices to the American families, next of kin, and gave them an opportunity to elect, do they want to leave their loved one overseas at some cemetery? They couldn't indicate which ones because they didn't know how many people would elect to leave them there or whether they wanted them brought home. About 61% of the families requested that their loved one be brought back. And that turned out to be about the same percentage as World War I, much to the surprise of General Eisenhower. He thought it would be a much higher number than 61. About 39% remained in Europe, although at the cemetery in Margraten, the number's closer to 46% because of the effort that the Dutch made to share this information with the Americans about, this is a beautiful area, you can leave your boys here. I think some families not ever having a chance to go to Europe and no hope of doing that, just wanted the natural knee-jerk reaction was to have them sent home. But what interested me were, why did families decide to leave them overseas? I asked that of one woman who was a war orphan. In other words, her father was overseas. She never knew her father. She was born while he was overseas. And I said, you know, why did your mother decide to leave him over there? And she said, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I've given thanks for it every day of my life, because if she'd brought him back, I would have gone to see him at his cemetery several times, and that would have been it. Where he is now gives his life meaning. Hmm. And that was so touching to me to hear that. And I think for some families, that it was an only child, it was too difficult to bear, and families thought, well, there won't be any other relatives to go visit them. So I think every family had different reasons, but I know that many families I've talked to that chose to bring their boys home, now their descendants feel like, I wish that they'd left them overseas, because we don't look at cemeteries the same way in the United States. For the most part, at least in the parts of the country that I've been, people are only at a cemetery if someone's being buried. And rarely, you know, you don't see young people at cemeteries, but when you go to Margroton, there are children, grandchildren, schools, entire classrooms out there, because they drill into those kids and grandkids, you're able to be here, you're able to think what you think and say what you want to say, because the men and women that are buried here gave their lives for you to have that chance.
It's a beautiful thing, and even for a simple sightseer in Europe, somebody on vacation in Europe, if you're so inclined, find out where the American cemeteries are. I've visited several, and they're always an inspiration. They exceed my expectations, and it's always been time and effort well invested for me in my travels. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Robert Edsel. His book is Remember Us, American Sacrifice, Dutch Freedom, and a Forever Promise Forged in World War II. We have links to Robert's work with this week's show notes at ricksteves.com/radio, and you can learn more about Robert's work from his website, robertedsel.com. You know, Robert, it's interesting to me that different societies honor their war dead differently. Have you given that much thought?
I do. I think that we see in the case of the Netherlands, they've created a cemetery for the German war dead. It's in Ijselstein. An extraordinary visit that I took there. There are 30,000 German soldiers buried there in the same amount of space that we have our 10,000 American soldiers at the cemetery in Margroton. It's not as well kept. It's organized, but it's a much more somber experience. The Dutch have not adopted those graves, and yet they have done a tremendous job helping get the cemetery set up and taking care of it. So there's a different kind of experience in each of these places that you go, but they're all there to tell a story. And you're absolutely right. One thing we've made easier for your listeners and for readers is in the front of Remember Us in the book, we've provided a map of all of the American Battle Monuments Commission World War I and World War II cemeteries in Europe and North Africa. And in the back of the book, we've provided a map of all the cemeteries in the Pacific. So we've made it easy for people to know that that cemetery we have in Normandy is not the only one, and neither is the one in Margroton. Almost anywhere you're traveling in Europe and the Pacific, there's something close to you. And it's one of the few things I can say with absolute confidence, you will not be disappointed to make a side trip to go to one of these cemeteries. It is an awe-inspiring experience. And of course, the one in Margroton has an element of life and hopefulness to it that to me stands above all the others.
And I gotta say, as a tour guide, when I take my tours to Normandy, I also drop in on a German military cemetery, because especially at Normandy at the end of the war, these were not political Nazis that were fighting the war. These were teenagers that were dragged out of communities, whether they knew what they were fighting for or not, and sent into the front lines and just slaughtered. And when you go to Germany, it's a very poignant thing. On the Rhine River, I see in towns four-sided monuments that have blank sites still for future wars. Back in the 1800s, they just assumed wars would go forever, and they anticipated that by having the people in that little town who would die in the future save a spot for them on the memorial. And it's just the poignancy of that is just fascinating to me. And when we have a chance to go and think about what it's like to die for the good cause, freedom, and then also what it's like to die because you happen to live in a country that's ruled by a tyrant, a fascist dictator. And the Germans lost a lot of loved ones, just as precious as our loved ones, and they don't call them heroes of war. They call them victims of war and victims of tyranny. But it's a very sort of a nuanced thing, isn't it? They want to remember their loved ones, but they don't want to celebrate an evil war that they started.
Well, that's true, and I've found it particularly touching when I've been at an American cemetery, and I've had this happen at Margraten a number of times, and you see German citizens there who feel a debt of gratitude to the Americans for helping liberate Western Europe and do the things that they did. And so that, you know, it's incredibly touching when you go and you see that and the effort that they've gone through to make sure that they're recognized.
There's so many opportunities to give your sightseeing just a little more impact, a little more, meaning. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Robert Edsall. His book is Remember Us, American Sacrifice, Dutch Freedom, and a Forever Promise Forged in World War II. Robert, your book is a celebration of the idea that freedom is hard fought. And it's a vivid example of how people give their all, loved ones remember that, and even the people who were the innocent bystanders of a horrible war are wrapped up in this whole challenge to adequately remember the people who defended freedom. Can you just wrap things up for what you want the takeaway for your book, Remember Us, to be?
I want people to know how precious this freedom is and be aware that other people gave their lives for it. You know, we say this phrase, we don't leave anyone behind, but we can go further than that and make sure that we don't forget them. And that's what this story is all about, is remembering the men and women that paid for the freedom that we enjoy and making sure that we honor them by remembering them.
Amen. Thank you, Robert, and thank you for writing this book.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it so much.
You'll find more about Robert Edsall's work and the Forever Promise Project to adopt more gravesites at the American Cemetery in Margraten. It's on his website at robertedsall.com. One of America's favorite historians had a longtime love affair with France. Up next on Travel with Rick Steves, we remember the late, great David McCullough with a fresh listen to his visit with us some 10 years ago. He reminded us how Americans took great pains to study in France in the 19th century and how they brought home what they learned to help fashion a better society right here in the United States of America.